So the reading is taken from Jeremiah 33. While Jeremiah was still confined in the courtyard of the guard, the word of the Lord came to him a second time. This is what the Lord says, "He who made the earth, the Lord who formed it and established it, the Lord is his name. Call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says about the houses in this city and the royal palaces of Judah that have been torn down to be used against the siege ramps and the sword in the fight against the Babylonians. They will be filled with the dead bodies of people I slay in my anger and wrath. I will hide my face from the city because of all its wickedness. Nevertheless, I will bring health and healing to it. I will heal my people and will let them enjoy abundant peace and security. I will bring Judah and Israel back from captivity and will rebuild them as they were before. I will cleanse them from all the sin they have committed against me and will forgive all their sins of rebellion against me. Then the city will bring me renown, joy, praise, and honor before all nations on earth that hear of all the good things I do for it. And they will be in awe and will tremble at the abundant prosperity and peace I provide for it. This is what the Lord says. You say about this place, it is a desolate waste without people or animals. Yet in the towns of Judah and the streets of Jerusalem that are deserted, inhabited by neither people nor animals, there will be heard once more the sounds of joy and gladness, the voices of bride and bridegroom, and the voices of those who bring thanks offerings to the house of the Lord, saying, give thanks to the Lord Almighty, for the Lord is good, his love endures forever. For I will restore the fortunes of the land as they were before, says the Lord. This is what the Lord Almighty says. In this place, desolate and without people or animals, in all its towns, there will be again pastures for shepherds to rest their flocks. In the towns of the hill country, of the western foothills of the Negev, in the territory of Benjamin, in the villages around Jerusalem and in the towns of Judah, flocks will again pass under the hand of the one who counts them, says the Lord. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the good promise I made to the people of Israel and Judah. In those days and at that time, I will make a righteous branch sprout from David's line. He will do what is just and right in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will live in safety. This is the name by which it will be called, the Lord our righteous Savior. For this is what the Lord says, David will never fail to have a man sit on the throne of Israel, nor will the Levitical priest ever fail to have a man stand before me continually to offer burnt offerings, to burn grain offerings, and to present sacrifices. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. This is what the Lord says. If you can break my covenant with the day and my covenant with the night, so that day and night no longer come at their appointed time, then my covenant with David, my servant, and my covenant with the Levites, who are priests ministering before me, can be broken, and David will no longer have a descendant to reign on his throne. I will make the descendants of David, my servant, and the Levites, who minister before me, as countless as the stars in the sky, and as measureless as the sands on the seashore. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. Have you not noticed that these people are saying, the Lord has rejected two kingdoms he chose, so they despise my people and no longer regard them as a nation. This is what the Lord says. If I have not made my covenant with day and night and established the laws of heaven and earth, then I will reject the descendants of Jacob and David, my servant, and will not choose one of his sons to rule over the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, or Jacob. For I will restore their fortunes and have compassion on them.
Thanks, Katie. Just to introduce myself, if you don't know me, I'm Mark. I'm on the staff here at church. Please do keep your Bibles open. It means you can follow through as I'm going through and check. I'm not making it up. You can read what I'm saying. The title of today's sermon's on the screen. Where is hope when all seems lost? What makes you doubt God's promises? What shakes your confidence in Jesus? Maybe it's seeing the 10 o'clock news every evening. You see and hear awful things all over the world. Abuse, murder, natural disaster, the list goes on and on. Maybe it's personal struggles in your own life. Maybe there's real tragedy there, loss, hardship, suffering. Maybe your life is just not quite how you want it to be. Perhaps these things make you question whether what God wants for you is really best. God makes amazing promises to his people. To Christians, he promises that all things work for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. That's just to name one. But when we're faced with awful, desperate times, they can shake our confidence. They can shake our confidence in these promises. How can God want this for us? The people of Jerusalem are in a horrible place. Verse 1 tells us that Jeremiah is in the same place he was at the start of the last chapter. He's confined in the courtyard of the guard. He's there because what he's been prophesying, saying the city would be captured by the Babylonians who are besieging it. He's a prisoner in a city which is itself under siege. If there are situations which would make you doubt God's good plans for you, then Jeremiah is certainly in one of those, held captive in a city which is itself a prisoner. But into this situation, God still speaks. The word of the Lord came to him a second time. Look down with me at verse 2. This is what the Lord says. He who made the earth, the Lord who formed it and established it, the Lord is his name. Call to me, and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. The Lord who made the earth, who is the supreme creator, who formed and established all things, he is the one to whom Jeremiah and his people are to call. We don't know exactly what they're going to ask, but God is ready to answer, telling great and unsearchable things they do not know. Maybe they cry out from their place of uncertainty and suffering. Maybe they ask something similar to the question we're asking tonight. Where is hope when all seems lost? We don't know for sure, but God gives an answer. We know the answer. This is the answer God gives. That he is the one who is powerful enough to reverse even the most hopeless of situations. That the Lord brings restoration from ruin. The Lord will surely restore his people, even from the worst desolation, the worst destruction and ruin. This is something the people of Jerusalem desperately need to hear. They really are in the worst situation. Verses 4 to 13 show this truth, that the Lord brings restoration from ruin. And the Lord says three things in these verses. All of them are introduced by a "this is what the Lord says" phrase. If you just look down with me, you'll see them. In verse 4, "For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says." In verse 10, "This is what the Lord says." And in verse 12, "This is what the Lord Almighty says." All three of these sections tell us something about this restoration from ruin. First, we see in verse 4 to 9, the promise of restoration of the city and people. It's all about being restored. But to understand where this restoration is coming from, we need to take a step back. Restored from what? Desolation, destruction, death. In verse 4 and 5, look at verse 4 with me. "For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says about the houses in this city and the royal palaces of Judah that have been torn down to be used against the siege ramps and the sword in the fight with the Babylonians." Sieges are horrible. You may have read a bit of history and know this yourself. Thousands of people stuck together in one place. No escape. Panicked people going hungry. Only the imminent prospect of death and captivity when the enemy finally make it over the walls. When their siege ramps, great mounds of earth and masonry, reach the top of the walls and the enemy pours in. The people are in a desperate situation. They've torn down their houses to make more defense. They're trying to stack up their walls higher and higher, just so they have that bit longer until the ramps reach the top. Even the palaces aren't spared. All they're good for now is the wooden stone they're made of. But it's not going to be enough. Look down again. "For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says about the houses in this city and the royal palaces of Judah that have been torn down to be used against the siege ramps and the sword in the fight with the Babylonians. They will be filled with dead bodies of the people I will slay in my anger and wrath. I will hide my face from this city because of all its wickedness. This is a city under God's judgment. They can build walls as high as they like. They can tear down houses to build them up even higher. But God has hidden his face from them. He turns away as he crushes the city. This is all his doing. The defenses made out of palaces and houses will be filled with the bodies of people that God slays in his anger and wrath. The people of Judah aren't in a bad position. They aren't in the worst position just because of the Babylonians. It's because of God's judgment against sin. Nevertheless, see that word in verse 6. Nevertheless, I will bring health and healing to it. I will heal my people and will let them enjoy abundant peace and security. I will bring Judah and Israel back from captivity and will rebuild them as they were before. I will cleanse them from all the sin they have committed against me and will forgive all their sins of rebellion before me. The Lord will restore the city and people. It's not going to happen straight away. The siege is still happening, and the city is going to be ruined first. But the Lord will surely restore. He will bring health to his people and give them security and peace. He will bring them back from exile, and the city will be rebuilt. There'll be no need to tear down houses or palaces to build high walls again. They'll be totally secure. Just like God was the one to crush them, he will be the one to rebuild them too. They will no longer have to fear God's judgment. He will make them spotlessly clean. All their sins will be remembered no more. Their rebellion forgiven. Then as God's cleansed people, they will bring him, verse 9, renown, joy, praise and honor before all nations on earth. As these nations look on, the restoration work that God has done for them will be so great. The abundant prosperity and peace so good that everyone else will be in awe and tremble at how amazing it is. The level of restoration we're talking about here is like that. People's jaws drop. They stare in wonder as they see God's good work for his people. He restores city and people. And it doesn't even stop there. He's going to restore their joy. As we move to verse 10 and 11, we're told again about the situation they're in. We have to see where they're coming from first. It is a desolate waste without people or animals. After Babylon's done with the city, there's going to be no one left. It's like there won't even be a stray goat left in the ruins. Yet, halfway through verse 10, an important word. Yet, in the towns of Judah and the streets of Jerusalem that are deserted, inhabited by neither people nor animal, there will be heard once more the sounds of joy and gladness, the voices of bride and bridegroom, and the voices of those who bring thank offerings to the house of the Lord. God has promised to bring about this curse of judgment, removing all the sounds of joy and gladness, bride and bridegroom. He's promised that already. Just earlier in Jeremiah, you'd see it. Chapter 7, 16, 25. But now the sounds of joy are crushed. God will bring them back. He promises the restoration, the removal of this curse. Joy and gladness will be restored. And people will again give thanks to God because it's he who brings this about. They'll say, give thanks to the Lord Almighty, for the Lord is good. His love endures forever. It's right to give him thanks because it's he who restores the fortunes of the land as they were before. It's he who restores joy. And this restoration isn't just for Jerusalem. The restoration is for the whole land. Verses 12 and 13 show us this. The final thing he says broadens the scope. It's no longer just Jerusalem or the towns of Judah, but for the whole land, it's for the towns of the hill country, of the western foothills and of the Negev, in the territory of Benjamin, in the villages around Jerusalem, and in the towns of Judah. In all these places, shepherds will again care for their flocks. This may certainly be about physical sheep, but importantly, shepherds caring for their flocks is a picture of leaders and the people. Throughout Jeremiah and the Old Testament, we see this again and again. God's people are described as shepherds for the sheep. And in this restoration, there will no longer be chaos and ruin like exile. But again, there will be structure and care. Flocks will again pass under the hand of the one who counts them. Leaders will care rightly for those they have charge over throughout the whole land. This whole scene of ruined Jerusalem is rather like my house burnt down. My house is there, burning down, all my possessions inside. No sign of firefighters. It's gone. It's a fate sealed, just like Jerusalem's was. I'd be standing there, and I can't do anything. I'm not a firefighter. I'd be helpless before it. All is lost. But God's like a builder who walks on the scene. This scene of destruction and devastation isn't too much for him. He says, I'll build it back again. He promises. Even this terrible destruction isn't too much for him. He is able to restore. That's what God's promising. Jerusalem will be a place of complete ruin, but God will restore it. Like I couldn't do anything for a burning house, the people of Jerusalem can't do anything. They're helpless. Their problem isn't just the fact that Babylonian armies knocking on the door, but that God will judge their sin. The Babylonians are just a symptom of the problem. Their sinful hearts and God's judgment against evil. They constantly turn from him. They can't fix their own hearts. They can't cure sin. They can't even fight off the Babylonians. But God can. God promises he will. He will heal and restore. If you're a Christian, you will experience that restoration. We're in a world now which is under God's judgment, but it will be made new. Christians won't have a perfect life now. There'll be suffering, death. We will have hardship in our lives. Because God is judging this world. This world stands under God's judgment of sin, and that affects us all. But God has promised a future restoration, a new creation, where his people will be with him in a perfect new Jerusalem. When God brings that about, the city and the people will be fully restored. There will be true and complete joy, and the whole of creation will be restored, not just the towns of Israel. God is powerful enough to reverse even the most helpless of situations. So no matter what hopeless situation you see in your world, in your own life perhaps, know this. The Lord brings restoration from ruin. Restoration is promised, even in the face of ruin and desolation. And the second half of this chapter moves on to talk about how this restoration will come. Look at verse 14 with me. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the good promise I made to the people of Israel and Judah. In those days, and at that time, I will make a righteous branch sprout from David's line. He will do what is just and right in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will live in safety. This is the name by which it will be called, the Lord our righteous Savior. This is how God will fulfill his good promise, the restoration of his people in his land, by establishing a righteous ruler, his Savior. He will raise up one from David's line who will do what is just and right, and so save Judah and allow Jerusalem to live in safety. This is how the Lord will complete his restoration for his people. The Lord provides a righteous ruler. There's this promise back in chapter 23 of a righteous ruler. It's really similar to what we've just read now, but it's slightly different there. In the first promise, the Savior has the name, the Lord, our righteous Savior. The ruler has that name. Whilst in this promise now, it's Jerusalem, the thing that the Saviour saves, which is given that name. As this ruler reigns over this city, he will cause his people to have the same name as himself, the Lord, our righteous Saviour. The literal translation of these words is simply Yahweh, our righteousness. God is our righteousness. That's saying that God's people will have the very righteousness of God. Let me say that again, because it's the climax of this restoration, and it's absolutely nuts. God's people will have the righteousness of God. And the rest of the chapter is telling us how we can be sure about that promise God has given. Verse 17 and 18 say this, "For this is what the Lord says, David will never fail to have a man to sit on the throne of Israel, nor will the Levitical priests ever fail to have a man stand before me." God's people can be certain of this outcome because God is promising that there will always be a descendant of David on the throne of Israel and a priest to offer sacrifices before God. This is a kingdom that will last forever. There will always be a man on the throne. They will always be represented before God by a priest. Now, when we think about how this is fulfilled, it can't simply be in return from exile. 70 years later, God's people do come back after they've been taken away. And they experience some restoration then. They rebuild Jerusalem and the temple. But looking back, we can see there was no line of Davidic kings sitting on the throne forever. And whilst there was a priesthood, it didn't last forever. How these promises are fulfilled is actually in Jesus. He is the righteous branch from David's line. He is the king who will do what is just and right. When the angel Gabriel came to Mary to foretell Jesus' birth, he said this to her about the child she would have. "He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." Jesus is the man who will always be sat on the throne of Israel. And Jesus is also the man who is a priest continually before his father. In Hebrews 7, it says this, "Now there have been many of those priests since death prevented them from continuing in office. But because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them." Jesus is the one who restores God's people. Jesus is the one who gives them the righteousness of God, who gives them the name Yahweh, our righteousness. He can do this because he is king and priest forever, ruling over his people and representing them before God. If you're a Christian, if you trust Jesus as your savior, as your king and as your priest, then this is true for you. You are part of the people who are called Yahweh, our righteousness. And you can be certain of that. God's promises are unbreakable. Listen to what the Lord says in Jeremiah, to Jeremiah in verse 20. "If you can break my covenant with the day and my covenant with the night, so that day and night no longer come at their appointed time, then my covenant with David, my servant, and my covenant with the Levites who are my priests ministering before me can be broken, and David will no longer have a descendant to reign on his throne. I will make the descendants of David, my servant, and the Levites who minister before me as countless as the stars in the sky and as measureless as the sand on the seashore." God's made promises like this before, back in chapter 31. He makes the same decree. If you can break the laws of nature that he has set in place, if you can make the day and night stop coming, that's when God's promises might be in danger. That's when you might need to start worrying. God promised that there will be a king and a priest forever before him, and it is certain. It's as certain as it's dark now. It's as certain as the sun will rise. Jesus will always be priest and king. This is a promise of an uncountable nation of descendants, a family too large to measure, a family that can include us. And it's unbreakable. It's as certain as day and night. How great is that? Others may look from the outside and say something like they do in verse 24. The Lord has rejected the two kingdoms he chose. People may look on from the outside and say something about how Christians' lives don't look that great now. They don't look totally restored. They look weak and defeated. They may despise the Lord's people, but his promise to his people is unshaking. It's unbreakable, as firm as the laws of heaven and earth. God has established his righteous ruler over his people and will restore their fortunes and have compassion on them. No matter what anyone else says, no matter what happens, Jesus is king and his people will be restored. God isn't someone who half does a job. He's not like a builder who, when he's building a burnt down house, will rebuild half a house. Maybe he won't bother with a roof or electrics or plumbing. No, there's walls and some floors. We'll be happy with that. He's not like that. He's going to completely restore. We can have confidence in him. He finishes what he starts. He will save his people and they will dwell in safety with him forever. You see, part of God's promise is being fulfilled already. When Judah returns from exile 70 years later and Jerusalem is rebuilt, but we can know God's not stopping there. God says the days are coming when he will fulfill his good promise. And those days are coming. This promise is as sure as the laws of creation that he has set in place. God will restore his people from the exile of living in this broken world to enjoy dwelling with him forever in his perfect new creation. Where is hope when all seems lost? Hope is in God's promise of restoration by his righteous ruler, King Jesus. So those things that shake your trust, that trust in God's plans and his promises, you don't have to ignore them. They're real. This world is full of pain. There is real ruin in this world now because it stands under God's judgment against sin. But know that this will not always be this way. Know that God is powerful enough to reverse even the most hopeless of situations, and know that he will. One day, Jesus will return and bring about complete restoration for all those who trust in him.